All right. We're going to just hop into the Word here and spend a little bit of time here. I'm gonna talk to you. I'm kind of opening up a concept tonight as we're going to build off of this concept a series, and we're going to talk about influence. Influence. We're going to talk about influences. We're going to talk about how we influence others, what influences us. We're going to talk about what that means and how that happens and what the process is. And hopefully we're going to learn some things as we move along. First thing we're going to do is I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Romans, the first chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 24. Romans chapter number 1, and I'll begin reading at verse 24. Influence. We need to learn something. As the Lord dropped this into my spirit and into my heart, I begin to realize, Lord, if we can learn this concept, we can have victory in areas of our life like we've never known. And so I'm believing that through this time together, we are going to experience victory through the Word. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 24 says, "Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves." Verse 25 then says, "Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." That 25th verse is where we are going to focus. Now, we are opening this up, and 25 says, "Who exchanged the truth of God." Okay, this is what the Lord is saying here. We opened it up. God gave them up to uncleanness. Okay, and verse 25, "Because they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator." Okay, now there is a reason people did this and do this. There is a reason that people exchanged the truth for the lie. And there is a reason that people worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. And the reason for that is the fallen nature of man. And the reason that man then gives in to that appetite and walks in that way and ultimately is turned over to that fleshly appetite to fully explore their sin nature is because of influence. There are influences that have directed that. And so we're going to take this thought. We know it's sin. There is a sin influence upon our sin nature. Amen. But for a believer, there is a God influence upon our spiritual man. And so we've got to be able to determine how to deal properly with influences. What that means. How do we do this? How do we overcome? What's that going to take? And so I really believe that there are some things that we're going to pull out of this tonight. Just in the time that we're going to talk a little bit tonight about influences that can help you if you'll hear them. Like I said, I don't have a lot of scripture tonight. We're going to go into scripture as we go forward. We're going to be in scripture, but mainly it's going to be Romans chapter number 1, verses 24 and 25 tonight. We're not going to jump around a whole lot. We're going to just kind of build a concept, and then we're going to go visit some other places in the weeks to come as we go through this. But influence. How many realize there is always influence either for good or for bad? There is always influence either for God or for flesh, sin, the enemy, however you want to categorize it, whatever you want to say. You know, whether you want to say, well, there are influences either for God and the devil, or influences for God and our flesh, influences for God and the world. However you want, the terminology you want to use, really ultimately it all leads to the same place, and that is the opposite of God. And so all the time, and this is important, and you need to hear this, and you need to put this in your memory bank. It's not anything that you don't know already, but it's something that our flesh nature wants to forget quickly. So you need to mark this into your memory bank and remember this. Every moment of every day, there are influences all around us. I'm going to say it again, and it's nothing that you don't know, but it's something our flesh wants to quickly forget. Every moment of every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? 365 days a year, except on leap year. Every moment of every day, there are always influences around us. There is always something vying for our attention. There was always something at war, for us. For the soul of man. Okay? For the spirit of man. There's always something that is fighting for control. What you do with those influences will determine, first of all, your eternity. Secondly, what you do with those influences will determine how you live the life you have been given to live. Okay, are you with me? And then the next thing that begins to happen is then we become a part of the influence that is going on every moment of every day in the lives of those that now are around us. So you are being influenced every moment of every day by something, and you are influencing others every moment of every day with your actions. Amen. Yes, there is. You do not live, no man is an island. We do not live all to ourselves and are not bothered by influences and have no influence on others. It's not possible. Everything we do is tied to this. See, a lot of people, there are people that will argue with you, and there are Christians that will argue with you. We'll say, well, there's some things that are just my things, and it doesn't affect anybody else but me. That's simply not true. Man, I'm letting that sink in for a moment. It's just simply not true. In some way, shape, or form, everything you are, everything you do, is ultimately going to be affecting those around you. Or don't do the things you don't do. Right. Amen. We are people that are influenced, and we are people that influence. Do you realize how much of our lives are influenced by culture? I honestly am not sure we have any understanding about how much of our lives are influenced by our culture. We do not live like other cultures. We live like our culture. It's never more obvious than when you're a teenager. Teenagers are the living epitome of being influenced by their culture. Fads, things take off, words. How many know the words that were the words when you were a teenager are not the words anymore? Somebody started new words somewhere. Amen? We blame California. Got a couple here that California people. So, you know, we blame the West Coast. Well, we'll blame the East Coast. How's that? Well, we got probably some that are more East Coast, too. So, it certainly didn't originate from us. In fact, Oklahoma is usually several years behind the whatever's the new thing. But it gets to us, and in the day we live in, it doesn't take very long. Somewhere, a new word becomes the thing to say because somebody says it. And before long, everybody's saying it. Right? The word righteous. That's a biblical word. There you go. But there was a day somebody took that biblical word and used it in other ways, and that's how it became. Righteous, dude. And everybody ran with it, and it became the thing. Now, don't go say, if you go over in that building and say that tonight, they'll look at you like you just walked out of a time warp from a coma from 50 years ago. You know, there's influence. TV influences, music influences, right? Fashion influences, people influence. So I'm trying to get this to you. Like I said, I'm opening up a concept that I think we need to grab hold of. Here's how influence works. This is what I've got. I'm not saying this is scientific fact. This is what I've got, okay? Here's how influence begins to work. Influence, for good or bad, initiates. Influence initiates a thought. Otherwise, it would have no influence. So to influence something, there is an initiation of it. There's an initiating that goes on. And it initiates a thought. So you hear something, you see something, you see a commercial, and next thing you know, there's a thought in your mind, I want one of those. You've just been influenced. Amen. You see the juicy Brahms burger, you know, with the lettuce and tomatoes that are perfectly aged and it just crisp, and the burger's cooked to perfection, and the cheese is melted just right, and the bun is fresh, and yeah, I mean, you can just almost see it just ready to squish, and it just looks awesome. And there's a thought that's initiated. It says, man, I want one of those. Right? Yeah, there you go. Yeah, some of you, that makes you want one of them. There's an initiation that takes place. This is how influence begins. So something, you see something, you hear something, something goes on, and there's a thought. Do I want that? Did it initiate something? And then the next thing that happened is that thought then motivates. So to influence something, it initiates a thought. And then it motivates a belief. Amen? Because now, I don't just think, wow, that looks good. I'm motivated now to start searching for my keys, right? And go get in the car and drive to Brahms. Because now, I've been motivated. It initiated a thought, wow, that looked good. Probably a subconscious thought, but it motivated a belief that I need that now. So what was a thought, a suggestion, an initiation, now has become motivation that has made me believe I've got to have it. Okay? And then to influence, then influence accelerates a response. Okay, so it initiates the thought. Okay, it begins that thought, plants that seed, and then it motivates the belief that you need it, and then it accelerates the response. And the next thing you know, you're sitting in the drive-thru at Brahms. And you've ordered. Right? And you go pick up at the window, and you rip that thing open, ready to go, and the hamburger they give you is about that thin, cold. The lettuce is wilted. The tomatoes don't look like the ones on TV. The cheese is barely on the bun, and it's not melted. But now you have accelerated the response because you've been influenced. Amen. This is the way influence works. Okay? Now, it's not just for a cheeseburger. We are influenced all of the time. The thing you struggle with the most is influencing you. Something triggers an initiation of the thought. The thought's initiated. Maybe it's something you smelled. Maybe it's something you've seen. Maybe it's something you heard. Maybe it's something somebody said. But it's a trigger. And because that's the influence upon your life, it initiates the thought. Wow. Sounds good. It could be a subconscious thought. It's not that you're sitting there trying to think on it. But then once the thought is there, then it begins to motivate you to believe you need it. And the next thing you know, you've had the thought. You saw something, smelled something, heard something, experienced something. And the thought hits you. Well, that looks good. And the battle begins and the thought process begins. And the next thing you know, you're motivated because now you believe it's not just a suggestion. You got to have it now. And so it motivates you to believe that you have to have it. And then it accelerates you to respond. Amen? This salespeople operate this way. Have you ever noticed when a car salesman, have you ever noticed they do not want you to leave their lot? Because the moment you leave their lot without buying their car, they have lost their influence. Because they initiated the thought. Now, I'm not saying that's bad. That's just how it works. They initiated the thought. Boy, don't you like this? What are you looking for today? There you go. Well, what are you looking for today? Okay. What color do you like? And what do they do? They're initiating the thought process. Oh, we have one of those. Oh, I got to see that then. Right? Okay, so now, and then we see it, and now we're motivated to believe, hey, this is the one, right? Take it for a test drive. Now, they've just got our belief system going. Now, oh, yeah, this is the one. I got to have this, right? I told you about the story of Veronica. Now, when we were first married, we were young. We married young. I was dumb. I won't say that about her. I was, and I wouldn't ask for help. I thought, hey, I'm a man now. I'm going to take care of everything. I'm 19 years old. A little bit older than that, I guess, when not much, but right, that's when we got married. And we decided we were going to buy a car as soon as I could, and instead of asking my parents for help or Veronica's dad. No, I don't know. I'm going to take care of this myself. And so we're driving down to the lot, and we were going to go look at a Mitsubishi Eclipse. We're a little older than 19 now. I was too old. I was old enough to know better. We went down there. They just came out. Veronica loved them. So we were there, and they were showing it to us, and we were on the way there, and I'm telling Veronica, now we're not going to act like we like it. You know, just nonchalant, whatever they show us, you know, we're not buying anything. You know, just, you know, this is the way we're going to do. We had it all planned out. We get there, and he initiated the thought. Right? What color you want? And here, oh, I've got one. Look at this one. And then he motivated the need. Right? And my wife, bless her heart, I had trained her well. And I look over and she's practically laying on the hood of the Eclipse. Oh, I love this car. You know, just salivating on the hood of the Eclipse. And I know that salesman knew. From that moment, these guys are mine, right? So much so that when he set us down to talk to us about it, he told us, he said, well, here's the thing, guys. These things are brand new. They're selling off the lot. There's waiting lines for these cars. So if you don't buy it for the sticker price, next person comes in is going to buy it. Guess what we did? Yeah, no, we didn't walk away. We paid sticker price for that thing. Now, right? I wish my story would have ended by we walked away, and I wish my story, see, I'm up here preaching so I can't lie like some of you do when you say, oh, I got the greatest deal ever made. Yeah, that's because you're telling the story, because you probably didn't get the greatest deal ever either. But we drove off that thing, and here's the thing about that, we were so naive, we were just happy to have it. It didn't matter at that point what it cost us and how long we were going to pay on it and all this kind of stuff, because we had been influenced, right? You know, that's how it happens in our spirit life. The influence comes, and it initiates the thought, do we need it? Oh, I want it. And it motivates the belief that we've got to have it, and then it accelerates the response, and you don't think about it, and you don't sleep on it, and you don't wait on it. Now I'm just acting on it. And then we say afterwards, I just couldn't help it. Yes, we could have. It comes down to what was influencing us. Amen. So we're going to look, and we're going to be looking at some people that dealt with influence the right way and the wrong way, and we'll be talking about that. But influence is all around you every moment of every day. Okay? Romans 1:25 said, they exchanged the truth for the lie. Doesn't that sound crazy? They laid down the truth and accepted the lie. Makes no sense. But they did it because they had been influenced by a fallen nature, by the enemy of their soul. And they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. That sounds crazy. Idol worship. That seems crazy. How would you worship some image of something rather than God? But they had been influenced. And before we jump too quickly on them, we do the same thing. We are initiated with the thought. We are motivated to believe we've got to have it. And then the response accelerates. And before we know it, we're doing it. That's what habits are. Habits are influences. Do you know if you're never influenced to pick up the habit, you never have the habit? Amen? It's just the fact of the matter. If you're never influenced to try it, you never have the problem. Or if you learn to deal with the influence. Okay, now we all have different things that we struggle with and all of that. But when we give in to negative influence spiritually, we accept the lie, we give praise, honor, and celebration to the creature, and we offer our servants service and obedience to the creature. That's what Romans 1:25 said. Okay, now, I'm gonna talk to you for just a minute out of this. And I want to talk to you about some godly influences and some bad influences. And I want to bring them together a little bit. See, God also is influencing us. He's also fighting for our attention. He's influencing us. He's attempting to. It's who are we listening to? What influences are we accepting? Okay? So if we're going to overcome the negative influences, we've got to listen to the positive influences. Amen. I'm going to help us here just for a minute with just this as we set this up. If you're struggling with negative influences that are leading to horrible habits and struggles and bondage and difficulty and failure after failure and just habits and things that you just can't get out of and thought patterns and all these type of things, Just remember this, until you accept the God influence, you will never walk free from the negative influence. Amen. Okay, so here's the way God influences us. He influences us with the Word of God. When we hear it, when we read it, when we know it, when we sit in church services, He speaks to us through His Word. There's influence there. When we hear the Word, if we believe it to be truth, it influences, it plants the thought, it initiates the thought, it motivates belief. Amen? And it accelerates a response. The Word. Okay, another way that God influences us is the Spirit of God influences us. The Spirit of God is constantly directing us and pointing us in better directions. Speaking to us about things we need to be doing. Pitfalls that are ahead of us. He's initiating the thought. Don't do that. Do this. Don't put yourself there. Look to Jesus. Don't go back to that setting. Stay in this place with Him. Amen? The problem is not that God's not helping you. The problem is you're not recognizing the influence. Amen. See, a lot of people say, well, I just can't overcome it. I don't feel any help. I don't think God's helping me. I just can't get past it. I'm just struggling. I'm just a negative person. So therefore, you know, everything I say is negative. And I'm just depressed all the time. I'm discouraged all the time. I'm just, you know, I just can't break. I'm an angry person. I can't break that. And God doesn't help me. No, you're not understanding the influences that are around you. You're listening to the wrong influences. The Word of God is influencing. The Spirit of God is influencing. The presence of God is influencing. You get into a place where the presence of God is free to move and become very vivid and very real, and there's some influence that is in that. Amen? Some encouragement that's found in that. People of God are supposed to be good influences. Right? Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they may be some of the worst influences. God help us all for being that at times. But people of God are influencers. That's why we need to be around people of God. Everybody struggles. I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm talking about people that are genuine and have a heart for God. Because they're going to at least attempt to appoint you to the Lord. Amen. So God is always influencing. And then the bad influences on the other side are these. The Word of God is always influencing us in the right way. The word of flesh. The word of the enemy is influencing on the other side. The wisdom of man. The wisdom of this world. I'm not talking about knowledge and bettering your knowledge. I'm talking about the ways of the world. The word of the world that's opposite from the Word of God, those are always influencing. Which one are you accepting? The spirit of man and the spirit of the enemy is always influencing. How many know sinful things, there is a spirit behind them? I know I'm running out of time. I had a revelation a while back. We were on a vacation, and we were in Mexico, and we had taken an excursion, and it was a packed full day. We had went into town. It was an in-town excursion, and we'd went into the town, and we were looking on. We were just having a great time. We were doing some fun things, and one of the things, then they drove us out. We have dinner, and we eat with everybody out there, and then they take you through this place, and this place they took us through was a tequila factory where they're showing you how they're making tequila. Okay? So So here we are. We're out there, and so we're walking around with these people at the tequila factory looking around. And, I mean, it's interesting, you know, seeing how they make it. I didn't know how it was made. And they're telling you that if you drink it before it's ready, you'll go blind and you'll do all this kind of stuff. And I said, wow, hey, y'all hearing this? You know, I'm amening him at that point, you know. Hey, it's all right. But we're there, and I kid you not, and I'm not passing judgment. I'm just telling you this happened to me. He's talking about tequila, and it's been his family's business for years. He's talking about this, and he's talking about the spirit, the spirits of it. And he's not talking about evil spirits. He's just talking about all the, just the, you know, you get the good tequila and the spirits. It's so good when it's used the right way. And he's just going on and on about this. And I kid you not, I got home and I was reading my Bible, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that's how the enemy weaves his way into lives by making things that are harmful seem so good and inviting. Because this guy was good. I mean, he talked about it, you know, like it was the greatest thing. He didn't say anything about those people we drove by on the way back to our nice resort, laying along the side of the road in poverty, that had lost everything because of this wonderful spirit. Amen. And the Lord just used that as an example for me. And he began to speak to me. The Spirit of God is influencing us, but the spirits of man and of the enemy are always at work as well. Which one are you listening to? The presence of God is influencing us. The presence of carnality is always influencing us. Carnality, you know what that is, right? That's those things. To be carnal is to be an enemy of God's. To be carnal is to be given over to your flesh, doing everything your flesh wants, all the passions your flesh wants. Out of that come all of the things that man struggles with, out of that carnal nature. That's where lust, and that's where the deviance is derived from, and that's where all of the sexual sin and all of the failure and the murder and the hatred and the anger and all of this stuff comes out of that carnal nature of man. And it's all around us. Amen. Which one are we allowing the most influence in our life? And the people of God influence, and the people not of God influence. Amen. Who you hang out with has an influence in your life. Now, here's the thing. You're never going to be free from negative influence. The key is, who holds the most influence over your life? If we don't read the Word, then I would imagine the word of man and the word of this world would hold more influence over us than the word of God if we never put ourselves around the word of God. Amen. If we never think God is dealing with us and speaking to us and we never feel in time, then I would say the Spirit of God, you're not accepting His influence. You're allowing the spirit of flesh and the spirit of the enemy more control. If the presence of God is not strong and you're never putting yourself in a place where the presence of God is free and you're encouraged to move into His presence, then the presence of the things of the world and the carnality, the carnal nature, is going to have more sway. And if you're never around people of God, and you're always around people not of God, amen? There's always influence, guys. There's no way to get around it. It comes in many forms. And I'm not up here, you know, I'm not up here telling you, hey, you can't watch this, and I'm not going to go through a list of things you can't watch or listen to or do any of that stuff. I mean, the reality is, when you're wanting the right influences in your life, the reality is, if you'll put yourself around the world, there's not a man that has to tell you when something is becoming a negative influence. Amen. I'll stand up here. And probably what will happen if I go into all the things that I try to tell you to not do, it's going to be things that have tried to fight over my influence. And I might leave out some of the things that you're struggling with. That's what we did for too long. We tried to name them all. And you can't name them all. Amen. We got to deal with the fact that there's negative influence all the time, and there's positive influence. Okay? Which one are you listening to and allowing more of your life to be influenced by? And now, I'm going to do my best to make this, as we move forward in the weeks or week to come, a very real subject. Because you know what? We can't sugarcoat it. The reality is, we are responsible for what we do, what we say, how we act, what we are involved in, what we reproduce. We can't blame others. It may be because we've allowed the wrong influences control, but still there's a way out of that. And so I don't want to sugarcoat it. I want to deal with it. Let's find ways to acknowledge I've got to get more of God influence in my life. And the reason I want to do that is because all of the benefits that come from that. Amen. And you know, the things that you choose to participate and to watch and to hear and to experience and to go and to be, all that's going to play a part. No man's your judge. God's the judge. Okay, so this isn't a message of judgment. This is just simply a warning from a preacher and hopefully an example of how we can live free if we'll let the right influences have control. Amen. So remember, Romans 1:24, let's go back there. Robert, will you pull that up? Romans 1:24 said, God, therefore, gave them over to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And in verse 25, because they had exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, if I backed up a little bit, he would begin to say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness. Verse 21, he says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and they professed to be wise, but they became fools. And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Even though God was influencing them, they chose the wrong influence. Therefore, God allowed them to pursue their path. Amen. All right, yeah. It doesn't mean God didn't love them. Doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Doesn't mean God quits attempting to influence them. It means they have been given over now to their flesh. And if they choose to continue to walk in that path, that's the path they're going to walk in. When the whole while, Jesus loves them. He's died for them. The Word of God is telling them. The Spirit of God is trying to get their attention. Right? Sometimes it's in the middle of the night, laying in bed after you've done 400 things that you knew you shouldn't have done and had fun doing every one of them. And then in the middle of the night, there's something in you that's empty and that's saying, why do I do this? It's the Spirit of God saying, come on, listen to my influence. The presence of God, people of God. And those are the ones we really don't like. Those people of God that are always saying, hey, and sometimes they say it wrong, but usually it's out of love and compassion. When they tell you, you know, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you don't tell me what to do. You've just chosen your influence. Amen, amen. How many of y'all have kids? How many want your kids to listen to what you tell them rather than their 13, 14, 15-year-old know-it-all friend? Right? How many would rather them listen to your influence than this person who thinks, knows it all, and somehow your kid thinks that person makes more sense than you do? How crazy is that? It's no crazier than when we do that to God with the ways of the world. Amen. When we're doing things that the Word of God says, don't do that, it'll destroy you. But we say, but my friend's loving it. Okay? Amen. If my mom was God, at that point, God would say, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you do that too? Right? Yeah. So, God loves us. He's got all these things in place to try to help us and to try to put, and the enemy hates us and he's trying to pull us down, and the flesh of man, the carnality of us, is trying to fight against us, and all these things are trying to influence us. And the victory is going to depend on which one we submit ourselves to. Stand your feet with me. I told you I was just going to try to introduce a concept tonight. I want you to think a little bit. I do. I want you to consider this. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do as we go forward. And I hope that just by bringing this and talking about this tonight, when things start influencing you, you'll ask yourself, okay, what influence is this? Okay? We don't wrestle flesh and blood. There are people. People make it, but it's still, we're not against people. I'm not telling you to, you know, isolate yourself and, you know, never be around another person who doesn't claim Jesus as their Savior. I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying be careful with every influence that comes into your life. Put some guards. Amen. The Bible says, I made a covenant with my eyes so I wouldn't look upon those things that are going to be harmful. Come on. I mean, there's influences around us. So we've got to deal with them. Okay? And we can overcome. And they hit every one of us and they hit us all differently. But we can be victorious through Jesus Christ.